Good morning. It is Tuesday, August the 6th, in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Yes, you know what Tuesday means. I don't even need to tell you anymore because you already know. And if you don't know, well, ask somebody. We are into August now. Schools are starting back up already. I'm sorry, kids. They should have waited until Labor Day. You know, I'm one of those people who say school is out at Memorial Day and back in at Labor Day. Can we get back to that, please? But it's probably already happening for you, so we'll just pray for you. Let's begin this Tuesday, though, getting ourselves situated at the center of the will of God. Let's leave yesterday behind. Let's don't worry about tomorrow. This is today before us, the only shot we're going to get at this day, which is why we say, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Praying together, Jesus, I belong to you. Say it again, Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think when we do this, we're just inviting Jesus. You know, we're not just sort of doubling down on our resolve, but as we pray that prayer, my sense is that Jesus is fitting us into the yoke of his cross, right? And his yoke, he said, is easy. His burden is light. We're not gritting our teeth. We're just kneeling down and we're welcoming Jesus to come alongside us and bring us into his yoke. This is his cross. And if it feels too hard, I think that's a sign we're not doing it right. Now, I'm not saying it's supposed to be easy, but it's not supposed to be a grit your teeth and white knuckle your way through kind of faith. This is a kingdom that he's giving us. And his burden is light, he says. His yoke is easy, he says. So that's what we're about here. That's what we're consecrating ourselves into today. Now, our entry for this day is called, What Are You For? Our text is Acts chapter 26, verses 7 through 11. Hear now the word of the Lord. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. King Agrippa, it is because of this hope that these Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Are you a for person or an against person? Let me ask it another way. What are you for? Many people, if not most, cannot answer this question with any sufficient or satisfying detail. Over the course of life and time, people slowly become cynical about their ideals, hopes, and aspirations, and even their faith, and wind up becoming more defined by what they oppose than what they are for. This is not about politics, but human nature. Hence my question, are you a for person or an against person? So what does this have to do with Paul in today's text? Thanks for asking. Paul tells his story to King Agrippa through this framework. Paul begins by sharing with Agrippa just how much of an against person he used to be. He said it clearly. His opposition to Jesus of Nazareth and his followers was an obsession fueled by aggression. Paul defined himself by what he opposed. I know some of you are thinking, but underneath his opposition to Jesus, he was actually for something else. Okay, what was he for? Where have you ever heard him talk about anything he was for before he met Jesus? For that matter, scan back through the Gospels and see if you can find direct evidence of what the Pharisees were for in their fight against Jesus. I can't find it. I'm sure they were for something. After all, everyone who is for something is also against other things. My question has to do with your center of gravity. Once a person's center of gravity shifts from what they are for to what they are against, they tend to slowly lose sight of what they were for, and life becomes fueled by obsessive opposition. Let's be honest. Being against something works powerfully in motivating campaigns and causes. It just won't move the gospel. Only for people move the gospel. One doesn't have to look very far to find out what a for person is for. It's patently obvious. After Paul met Jesus, it became overwhelmingly, abundantly clear he was for Jesus. Maybe it's the difference between aggressive obsession and passionate pursuit. I'm beginning to think this may have been the most significant element of Paul's conversion. He ceased being an against person and became a for person. He traded in his angry obsession for a holy passion. So I'll ask again, are you a for person or an against person? How can you tell? If you don't have an immediate answer to the question, what are you for? Then you're probably an against person. Paul shows us by the power of the Holy Spirit, profound change is possible. It's why we keep praying this prayer of transformation. You see, we can't change ourselves. But Jesus can transcend our reality and transform our life. That's why we pray, Lord Jesus, I am your witness. I am for you, and I long to be like you. So fill me with you your presence, your personhood, illuminating my personality. Yes, to that end we pray, I receive your righteousness and release my sinfulness. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your love and release my selfishness. Yes, Jesus, I receive your passionate pursuit of the glory of God, of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And I release my oppositional, negative being against so many things. Come, Holy Spirit, transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength, so that my consecration becomes your demonstration, so that my life becomes your love, so that our lives become your sanctuary. For the glory of God our Father, amen. For our journal prompt today, I'll ask you again, so how about you? Are you a for person or an against person? What are you for? Be honest. We'll sing here in just a minute. You know, again, this whole political season we're in, this makes this whole idea go to the next level. I mean, you know, I think about the news, or what we call the news these days. I don't care what channel or network you're watching. The news has become just a thinly veiled cover for really what various ideological factions are against. You don't have to look very far or listen too deeply to pick that up. And that's a kind of a toxin that gets in us. And that's why politics has become so negative, so anti, so against. And if we're not careful, that just will begin to color our entire view of life and of people. And we just begin to define ourselves by what we are against. So this is a good challenge. What are you for? What are you really for? And I just want to let you sit with that today for a bit. And I want you to become attuned, not critical, but attuned to people, and notice how they are self-defining. Are they constantly letting you know what they're against? Or are they passionately witnessing to what or who they're for? Just begin to note it. And again, not to be critical of them, but just to become aware of the need to become a for person in this world. You know, every day at the end of this, it's not lost on you, and it's certainly intentioned on my part. I say for the awakening. We are for awakening. And that's why we're sowing seeds for a great awakening. We are for the young. We are for things like banded discipleship. We're for prayer. We're for so many things, and all of it is integrated and crystallized in Jesus Christ. We're for Jesus, and he's for us. As we get ready to hit the fields today, we're going to sing a big four anthem. It's one you're going to love. You already love it. It's called Victory in Jesus. Three verses and a massive chorus. We're going to do it all. Are you ready? Deep breath. You might need to stand up for this one. This is on page 119 in our Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. 119, Victory in Jesus. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming love. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought the victory to me. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Well, if you're not awake after that, I'm not sure I can help you. That's a wake-up call hymn if I've ever heard one. That's a for him. We are for victory in Jesus today. So get your seeds. You're sowing for seeds. You're sowing for the awakening. I'll see you on the field. I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.